within Craft and Rizzo, presenting The Truth.
Good. How you doing? Oh, cool.
Let me turn myself up. Hello, check, check, check. It's amateur night tonight.
Yeah, you gonna turn yourself on?
I gotta turn myself on before. There. Check, check, check. Yeah. This is Dread Radio. Hi. How you doing?
How you doing?
What's up?
Got audio?
Yeah.
Ah, cool.
I do now. I turned myself down because I was hearing a hiss earlier, so I turned myself down, and the hiss went away, and now it sounds fine, I think.
Hey, that works for me. By the way, Ed Craft, Reepso, you're listening to Dread Radio on, what are we on? ReepRadio.net, ReepRadio.net, and Jackalope 105.
Yeah, that's correct.
Sponsored by Haunted America Tours. Check them out.
That's correct, too.
I got it right. See, I wrote it on my forehead backwards.
Nice. All right, so I'm still checking my check, check, check. All right. What's up?
I'm busy week. Just got back from the courthouse. We went to the courthouse yesterday. Finally got the marriage license.
Oh, good. You're getting married?
Yeah. Didn't you know you can do that stuff online now?
What, get married?
Yeah, you fill out they make you fill out the license and stuff online, and then you actually have to go to the courthouse and swear it in.
Oh, okay.
But now you do everything online. All they want you to go to the courthouse for is to pay you money and swear before the notary public down there.
You got to swear at the notary public?
Notary public, yeah.
You got to say, give me my license?
Yeah, we are who we are, and you know, we didn't lie on our form. That's basically it. You don't even have to do blood testing.
How much did it cost?
It's up to $78.
Oh, yeah, because I remember we saw that. So you had to go to Oakland to do that, huh?
No, actually, you can do it. We just did it right in Redwood City.
Oh, you're in a different county. That's why.
Yeah, it's San Mateo County.
Yeah, I almost forgot about that. All right, at least you don't have to go to Oakland.
Yeah, that would have been a mess. We drove down there. That's where the chaplain is. So we had to go over there to meet with her this past weekend.
Go ahead, yeah, that's go ahead a night. Call that. We're gonna have the producer call our guest for tonight.
Yeah, she should have a great guest. We've got Carly Rose Singer on with us tonight, so should be a great show. Looking forward to it. She's a really great person, too.
Okay. I hope we're on. Let me check to see if we're on. Yeah, we are. Because I can hear Ed's voice.
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear us better now?
Yeah, it is much better, actually. Right, I don't know what's wrong with my phone. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Technology.
we're back and we're on live.
Yeah, what surprise!
You we're gonna try to catch you saying something you shouldn't.
Because we were talking to Carly.
Oh yeah, thanks a lot.
We were talking to Carly before the show started. We had to call her back, and she didn't know the show had started because we didn't tell her, did we? That was kind of mean of us.
You guys are sneaky.
So, why don't you tell everybody about yourself, Carly?
My
good stuff too.
Obviously I'm from London, and I'm a paranormal researcher. I'm what's called a direct voice medium, and I have a website out there with direct voice recordings, which is not a very common thing, so I'm trying to sort of, you know, get the information out there. I live in Florida, just moved back from New York City, and you know, do paranormal investigations, write a lot, and, you know, just in the field trying to get information out there and always trying to learn new things as well. And started about, I would say, 5 years ago now, I started to record, and that's what I do. I mean, I'm not doing that. I'm working. I have a normal life, and, you know, everything's very normal apart from that.
Yeah, see, I like that. You don't come out and say you've got 30, 40 years of experience.
You say, and that always makes me laugh when I see that. You know, some people, they're like 20 years old. They're like, yeah, I've been in the field for 15 years. I'm like, really? You're a kid. and it's, you know, you get that a lot. For me, I always felt things, I thought I saw things as a kid, but until about 5 years ago, I kind of used to flob it off, and until I started recording and getting the information on the recordings, I would never really talk about it, because to me, the proof is in the pudding. Like, if you don't have the proof, don't even bother discussing it. You know what I mean? So
before we go any farther, I have a statement from Lisa Abney.
From Lisa?
Yeah.
Okay.
And she can't listen to the show because she had another appointment, but she wanted me to read this.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
Did I be scared?
You can tell me if you're scared at the end here.
Okay.
Lisa says, Carly Rose is unlike anyone I've ever worked with. She doesn't claim to be a psychic. Although she can hear spirits, she hears spirits the way we hear them during EVP sessions, and unlike the majority of psychics in the field who charge to do everything, she never takes advantage of anyone, and she has the balls to back up what she experiences with her recordings. And that was from Lisa Abney, so I told her I'd read that today.
That's so nice. That's really sweet. Wow. So she sent that to you in an email?
Yeah, she sent that to me earlier today because she wouldn't be able
to call
into
the show. Lisa Abney, she has a group called Hornets House Paranormal Research. They're up in the Tampa area. And since I'm in the Florida area right now, I go up there quite a bit to do investigations with them. I got to say, they're probably I haven't gotten out and about that much considering it's only been 5 years, but they're probably the best group as far as researching and going through their data thoroughly, the best group that I know. And she's probably the only other person I would trust going through my audio, to be honest. And that's really sweet.
Yeah, you're out there in Florida. I'm sorry to hear that you're in Florida. Of course, I had to leave Florida.
I know.
Come all
I'm
way
sorry.
Out.
it wasn't planned this way. I know you used to live in Plantation, you said, right?
No, I moved from Plantation, come all the way out here to California.
When did you move?
What was it? June?
You grew up around here, or you just moved here?
Yeah, well, I grew up right there in Hollywood.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That is
just
strange.
Stone's
yeah,
Row
I'm in
right there,
Boca, yeah. And it's kind of temporary. Like I said, I moved from New York City very briefly to San Francisco, which I know, Danny, you know all about that.
Yeah.
So I was very briefly in San Francisco, and then I had to have some surgery. So it was kind of, very unplanned, but a lot of my family's here, and so I decided to come down here for a little break, and a break turned into a few months, and here I am. And, I probably won't stay here long term, but, it's a nice change of pace for me. I'm usually really, really busy hustling and bustling, and, there's not much to do around here except for a life. I spent the rest of the afternoon at the pool today. So it's
nice.
Not a bad life.
Yeah, it sounds real tough.
Yeah.
And the beach isn't far away either, so.
No, the beach is, it's great. It's 10 minutes away, You can't do better than that, really. But I got to say, I am disappointed I didn't get to stay in San Francisco, because I love it there, and that's my favorite city.
Yeah, we're about, well, if we drive over, we're only about 20 minutes from there. We take Bart,
yeah.
It takes about 30 minutes.
Oh, I love it out there. I'm very disappointed I didn't get to stay. But there you go. Things happen for a reason,
We were there yesterday, right before we called you and had to go to the courthouse. We ran over there to take care of some other stuff. So.
Oh, yeah?
Just the city. Yeah.
It's nice there. Well, I was staying in Alameda.
Yeah.
Which I guess mm-hmm. is, you have the lake. What is it? The lake? It's a lake, right?
It's part of the bay, yeah.
The bay. Yeah. So that was nice. It was like 5 minutes from the bay.
That's where the Hornet is.
The Hornet, yeah. I didn't go there, but yeah, that I haven't been there. But yeah, I know that that's where it is.
A lot of people know it for being haunted and all that stuff, but they don't. A lot of people don't realize that that's the ship. The one they've got now. There's been, I think, like 16 ships named the Hornets going back in history. I believe it is 6 or 16, something like that. But it's the one they have there is actually the one that pulled up the Apollo 11 spacecraft. You know,
oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of, you know, I've heard a lot of things about it. I didn't get to go, unfortunately. But, you know, a lot of these places, too, and I know, you know, like I said, I've heard stories from, but a lot of these places that people really talk about where they have their events or whatnot, you know, they say, oh, it's, you know, it's there's so much activity, blah, 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 and, you know, and I've gone and I haven't really, I think a lot of it is marketing, you know, if people want to throw their events at certain places and stuff. You know, just because someone says it's haunted doesn't necessarily mean it is. And then, of course, you know, or if you get one team going somewhere and they say, oh, yeah, we heard this or we saw that, you know, the story gets passed down the line and then it's all contorted by the end of it and, you know, none of it is true.
Yeah. Have you guys heard about the Queen Mary, the problem they're having with the
management? Yeah, I've been to the Queen Mary.
You know, the new management on that boat is trying to stop paranormal investigation.
I know. Well, that's been going on for a while. Yeah. I know that when we went, I mean, they didn't have a problem with us going, but they really were quite strict, yeah. You know, about all the guidelines, where we could go on the ship, where we couldn't, blah, 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 which honestly they shouldn't be because the teams and everything, I mean, they could make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
But anyways, I had some stuff going on there. The person I was with did as well. I went with Live Sci-Fi at the time, and he had some personal experiences. We got a bunch of peas out of there, but I really, you know, without trying to sound bad, I really thought, like, they talk about the pool area. Everyone talks about this girl called Jackie or whatnot. Unfortunately, I didn't have that experience, but it was definitely an interesting place to investigate, you know. And my grandfather was stationed on that ship during the war, so that made it cooler for me.
Oh, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the Navy. So.
I was just there a couple weekends ago. Lisa and I were there. The stateroom we stayed in, the hallway, you know, there's like four to a little hall.
Yeah.
And the room right next to us in our hallway was supposed to be one of the haunted areas. We didn't even realize it at the time. And even our stateroom was one of the ones that was supposed to be haunted. And, you know, amazingly enough, we get in there. I had the best night's sleep. It was quiet. It was peaceful. And
yeah.
There was absolutely nothing going on. The only thing we experienced, and I thought it was odd, is when we came in and down that hall, there's no smoking. And there was a strong cigar smell there. But
yeah, that's one of the stories that you hear.
Well, the ventilation system is all piped from outside. You got people right across the thing. They're smoking.
All right, that's a good
point. I looked out the porthole, and there's a guy smoking a cigar.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, like
there.
I said, we pulled a bunch of EVPs out of there, but nothing really that I would say was concrete, like, oh, my God, wow factor. You know, I mean, you can pretty much, well, I can anyways without trying to toot my own horn, but you can pretty much get EVPs most places, you know. So it wasn't like a big deal or anything. And, you know, like I said, I hear about this girl, a little girl, apparently that hangs out the pool, and I didn't have that experience, so I was a little bit disappointed in that way.
I'm kind of, you know, find it funny that they're trying to stop all the paranormal investigations. When you go there, all you see around the ship are these little placards about haunted area here, haunted area there, and they've got little ghost pictures on the side of these little things outside, and, you know, the haunted Queen Mary. I mean, they're really playing up to be a tourist attraction.
Yeah,
so
I don't know, because I know that they definitely need money, you know, to keep the place up and everything. So I don't know why they're giving everyone a hard time. But like I said, when we were there, they had no problem with us walking around, but we were very restricted as to where we went, you know? That kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
But anyway.
It's probably an insurance thing.
A liability.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Yeah. Your insurance gets into everything, you know?
Yeah.
That seems to be the bottom line for everything. Right. When you mentioned EVPs, I got a question for you on that. Do you think they're subjective, the interpretation of them?
Do I think they're subjective?
Yeah, when it comes to interpreting them, do you think the interpretation is a very subjective thing?
I do. I really do. I also think that, I don't want to say anything that's going to sound weird, but, you know, there is, when we hear things, we do have a tendency to sort of make sense out of them and form them into words, you know, speech. So I think you have to be very critical, and you have to be very critical of yourself. And I ask a million, I listen, like, loads of times before I actually be concrete in what I think it says. And, I'll also ask other people to listen to what I think it says, because I can think, a lot of people, they jump at anything. If they had one kind of paranormal experience, everything to them is paranormal after that, And like I said, for me, the proof is in the pudding. I doubt myself too sometimes, because when I first started recording, at first it was to kind of prove to myself that I wasn't crazy. That's why I kind of started recording. And then I wanted to prove it to everybody else that I wasn't crazy. And of course, people that know me know that I'm not. But, it was really important for me to have the proof. And, now I know what the truth is, and I don't really care who... Well, that sounds rude. I do care, obviously. I'm human. But it's... I know what it is, so it's not as important for me. I just like to put the information out there for other people to, if they want to read it, if they want to hear it, they can. If they don't, that's fine, too. I don't want to shove the information down anyone's throat,
Well, Rip and I are still trying to get our certification that we're not crazy. So when we get that information, that paperwork, we'll let her know.
My paperwork always has some kind of problem with it when I send it in. They always send
it
back to me.
No, you guys are fun. You get in trouble a lot, I know, but you guys are fun. And you stand up for what you believe in. And, I'm down with anybody that, stands up for what they believe in, even if I disagree with it.
You've heard us on here many times. We don't even agree all the time, but that's the whole thing. We agree to disagree.
That's because Ed's a jerk. That would be boring, though, if you were just, guessing each other the whole time.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point. If you agree with everything everybody says, then how do you ever get ahead? How do you ever learn?
You don't, and you can't learn anything. I mean, and we can only learn from our mistakes. I mean, that's life, It would be very boring if everyone was yesing each other and no one asked to, or bothered to look at the facts,
I think the thing that people need to pay more attention to these days, especially in the paranormal, from what I'm seeing, is the way they disagree with each other.
How do you mean?
There's a way where you can disagree with people and be respectful,
Yeah.
And not just come down on them and slam them right out of the box,
Well, I think what you're talking about is the internet stuff that goes on. Most of the time, that's keyboard courage. I mean, most of the things these people write about, if they're kind of trying to diss somebody, they probably don't have the balls to come out and say it to the person's face, but they feel comfortable with, with the behind the keyboard, And I think that's the problem.
I couldn't agree
more.
People
need to grow some. They need to, confront people, call them up, speak to them in person, If you can't do that, call them up on the phone rather than just writing the blog.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the problem is. And it's sad. I mean, to be honest, and when I first spoke to Ed about the show, I told him, I'm not really doing a lot of shows right now, because you guys are friends, so, I'd love to be on. But for me, I've really kind of tried to back off. Not that everybody knows me, because I'm nobody, but I really have backed off from any kind of radio appearances, events. I've said no to a ton of events, because I'm really not interested in the drama. I mean, everyone loves to see it going on, but there's too much of it, So I'm kind of trying to mind my own business and do, my private research, and the people that I, like to work with, I still work with them, and we pretty much keep everything on the down low right now and just taking a step back. And I'm not the only one. I know plenty of really, really intelligent people in the field that are backing off also. And it's a shame. That's a shame because, you're just going to be left with a bunch of idiots running around. I'm probably going to get mail for saying that. what I mean?
I'll get mail.
Yeah.
Well, you can
send it to Reem.
Yeah, I think send it to me. Fine, I can handle it.
Well, I'm saying I don't want drama, but then I'm calling everyone idiot. So I'm the idiot.
You're addressing a certain group of people, and if you're going to be honest about things, there's always going to be idiots, So there are.
Right, there's idiots in all walks of life, but they just seems to be just an incredible amount of drama that goes on with this, and no one really cares about the facts. They don't care about the research. They care about who's in a public fight with who.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're not paying attention to. I can't tell you how many times, like, I've put up a video of something amazing, or a photo, or a recording, and you know, some people pay attention, you know, but you know, pretty much people could just go on with themselves, you know. And you write something like, oh, I'm having a crap day, and everyone's like, why? Tell me what happened. You know, you get like 20 comments in like seconds.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I certainly understand where you're coming from, because I took such a long time off too after I quit the other show. But and then Reed came along, and it's like, well, let's get back into doing this. And I realized,
yeah,
you're exactly right. There are people interested in this, and he had a great point when he was doing Reed So Radio. It's time to wake people up. Which, by the way,
I
is
agree.
On Tuesday
and you know,
nights.
I mean, obviously, you guys, I consider you guys like friends. I've never met you in person, but I think you're both good people. But you know, I mean, thank God for people that, you know, stand up for everything that's wrong, and bring it to people's attention, because I mean, it would be so much worse than it already is right now. We need more people to sort of stand up and be honest, and you know, speak honestly about these things.
It's so sad, and I think you're 100% right that you put any information out there and people ignore it. All they
right.
want, it's a soap
right.
opera.
And or it race. Can go the other way, and you put information out there, and then everyone's trying to pick it apart.
Yeah.
You know, and then you think, you know what, screw it, I'm not putting this out there if you're all going to pick it apart. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can't win at the moment anyways. So,
oh.
But, you know.
But it's tough sometimes when you're trying to deal with people, it's tough for a lot of people to deal with the drama and the crap that comes up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think that's where our strength kind of lies. Is it all rolls off me? I really don't give a shit. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, you know, I mean,
you know?
It's so time consuming.
But you know, it is kind of it's time consuming, and you know what? It's very. I know a lot of people. It's very wearing on them. You know?
Yeah.
Even though the comments people are making are not true, or you know, they're just made up. It really is overwhelming for a lot of people, and I kind of count on that sometimes when I'm dealing with people, because I know that it is. It's very overwhelming for them, and it doesn't take me. I don't have. I can do certain things and kind of get that person to quiet down, you know.
Yeah.
But even if you're a good person, and what you're saying is true, and you know, and lies are being told about you, it's very, very difficult to open your email and see and hear the things people are saying, even though you know they're not true.
Of course, everyone has feelings. I don't care who you are, how tough you are. You're going to, you know, get upset about it. But, you know, even, I mean, that, again, is in all walks of life. You know, I mean, how do you think they sell so many, you know, magazines, like, you know, People Magazine, this, that, and the other? It's a bunch of lies. I'm sure most of it is not true about the celebs. You know, I can't imagine what they go through, you know, opening a magazine and, you know, reading the kind of stuff that they have to read. But for me personally, I'm a hothead. I mean, I'll admit it. I'm kind of, I've always been a fighter. I'm a very patient person. But, you know, when it comes to lies, it really, I mean, it like just, it irks me big time. So there's a certain amount I will take, and then all of a sudden I'll snap, and when I shoot to kill, you know?
Yeah.
But I try and, for the most part, I just try and sort of stay out of everybody else's business, and, you know, because it is time-consuming, and it takes your energy away from you, and does make you feel crappy. I mean, you're lucky you can just let it roll off your back.
Yeah.
And that's the key thing, too. You've got to have some patience.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and just like Reeve said, you've got to, he handles it one way, I handle it, and I tend to be more, I try to use it humorously instead of directly. And, you know, it's all in how you deal with it, too.
Yeah.
Everybody has their own way of dealing with things, but, you know, just like you said, you got to, sooner or later it's going to catch up to you, you're going to blow up.
Yeah.
Well, I think that if you don't address people who are behaving in an improper manner, those people are likely to just keep, you know, it's like going unchecked. You know, and you've got to stand up.
Yeah, I agree in certain respects, but in other respects, you know, there's that old saying, pick and choose your battles wisely. Sometimes it's so ridiculous, it's not even worth.
Oh, yeah, there's exceptions.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's definitely exceptions to that, but there's also other times where I see people. wanting to take the high road when, you know, they should be standing up for themselves and saying, you know what, this is wrong. And I'm not saying getting in a full-blown out-and-out battle with people,
yeah,
but at least making some kind of statement saying, you know what, this isn't true. All right, period. At least answering it in that aspect. Not slamming the other person back, but at least saying, you know what, let me say publicly, what this person said wasn't true. Or what this person said wasn't right. Or I don't think the way they came at me was fair. Here's why. You know, and stand up for themselves.
I totally agree. You know, like I said, I'm a hothead, so I tend to, like, jump and then think afterwards, you know. But, no, I definitely agree with that. And there needs to be a lot more of that, I think. But I think everyone's so scared of hurting someone's feelings, but in the same, you know, because of that, we're all sort of in standstill.
That or they say, I don't want to lower myself to that person's level. Well, you can answer things without lowering yourself to that person's level. You can answer things eloquently in your own fashion, you know, to where you're comfortable. And you don't have to word things the same way as the person who rolled up on you in the first place. You know, you can do it in your own way.
And just before the rumor gets out, by the way, folks, it was officially announced on her website, on her Facebook page today, our producer Polly did have an affair with Tiger Woods. Okay. That was officially announced.
Tyler Polly.
He got called several bad names in about 2 seconds after posting it.
speaking of rumors,
I'm just wondering where the money is. I mean, if she's going to do that, I mean, I'm cool with her doing that if she wants to, but at least we can have it. We could get a dinner or something.
Yeah, she's laying on the hush button.
She's in the background. I hear in the background,
right? She's producing the show. She's the one that's been calling you, so.
Okay.
I had to toss that in there since we're talking about scandals and scams. So.
Polly likes to just, like, make drama up about herself sometimes just to rile people up.
Oh.
You know, I think it's important to laugh, you know, to laugh at these things.
You can say
you got to have a sense of humor, you know?
That's the only thing. That's what gets you through life. Otherwise, it's just an uphill battle constantly. You know, you got to look at laughing.
People
life.
Are too serious, man. They need to chill out.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Should we take a quick break and we get another half hour after that?
Sure. Absolutely. Sounds like a wiener.
Everybody's cool? Okay. I'm going to play, how about a little of this? And wait a minute. Hold on a second. There we go. I'm going to play my favorite song in the whole wide world. This is Dread Radio. We'll be back in 3 minutes, 39.3 seconds.
Late night breaks, I hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel lift me up. And I open bloodshot eyes into fluorescent white. Flip the siren, hit the lights. Close the doors and I am gone. Shaking on this bed until the way. big sock, hear the tires squeal. Red light can't stop, so I spin the wheel. My world goes black before I feel an angel steal me from the beating tides of death and chance.
Welcome back live here to Dread Radio. I'm Ed Kraft of Reepso, and we're here every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ReepRadio.net, and of course, Jackalope 105 FM. We're sponsored by Haunted America Tours Magazine. Our guest tonight is Carly Rose, and we're sitting here talking tonight about everything under the sun. You name it, we're talking about it.
Can we talk about Chris Moon now?
Ed, you sound so serious when you do that.
I know. That's my radio voice. Hey.
If I don't do it, Reep harasses me about it.
Hey, how you doing? Hey. What's up, Ed?
My radio voice.
So you'll finish with your business, Ed?
Yeah. Honestly, I had to go visit the Oval Office.
Oh, God, you guys are
fine. Well,
Ed's a very private guy.
Yeah, you tell?
He's very shy.
Yes.
So to speak. You can tell I'm an open book. What were we talking about? Oh, yeah, you wanted to talk about something. What was it, Reed?
Can we talk about Chris Moon? Really quick.
Oh, God.
He's been kind of quiet, but if we're going to have Carly on him, we should kind of talk about him a little bit, you know?
Are you going to get me in trouble?
No, we're just want your opinion, that's all.
I've never met the guy. So
no, I don't mean
really
personally. You know what? I've never met him personally either, but I'm just talking about kind of what he's up to, what he puts out there. I mean...
what he puts out there, but he's not even... I've never spoken to him, even via email. He's not on my friends list or anything. Like, I don't really keep up with what he says. I mean, I know what you've talked about in the past on the show, because you know I'm a fan, I'm a listener. But I can't really share an opinion on it. I mean, I know the whole charging with the box thing irritates you. I personally disagree with that, but, you know... really, what's the difference between that and, a psychic or a medium charging for a reading? And everybody's got to make a living. As far as the amount, I really disagree with the amount. If you're going to charge, it should be something that most people can afford. Yeah. And that's all I really have to say on it, you know. Yeah. And as far as this list about, you know, and the other thing I heard from you is about the, how many people, like there's a certain amount of people in the world. There's a certain amount of people in the universe. I disagree with that also. But, you know, like I said, I've never spoken to the guy, so I really can't really say. You know, there's a lot of things that I hear about a lot of people, and then I meet him, and I'm like, that's not true at all. So I don't know what to say about it.
Well, now, you don't charge for yours when you do your
stuff. I don't charge for anything. I think I'm a moron. I should be charging. Everyone else does. I don't charge for anything because with the direct voice stuff, there's no way for me to really control that. I'm not so powerful that you can come to me and say I want to speak to my grandmother and I have her chiming in on my recorder. It doesn't work like that. How can you charge without knowing, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really give the full information, so I disagree with charging. As far as just regular mediumship readings and stuff, you know, I do what I do because I want to find answers, not because I want to make a living out of it. And that's why I have another job. I have a real job, you know. where I work as a paralegal, whatever, and I've always worked, and I think that that's what keeps me grounded also. But would I ever charge in the future, you know, if I want to give up the day job? And, you know, I can't say I never would, like, you know, if we're talking 10 years from now or whatever, but I wouldn't charge for a ghost box reading, because I think that it's so experimental. It really, I disagree with it, and I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I just have to say, you know, anyone who, at least you're not trying to harm anybody. See, that's the difference. I have a lot of problem with a lot of psychics who take advantage of people, and they get involved with them.
There's a lot of people that would call me a psychic, you know, and for what I do, it's known as a direct voice medium. I hate labels, but you have to sometimes give a label for people to understand what you're talking about,
yeah,
you know?
You do, yeah.
But I hate that stuff, and sometimes be like, oh, someone will say to me, well, you're psychic, why don't you tell me? I'm like, I'm not psychic, okay? Like, I experience things that I can't explain that, you know, people define as mediumship, but I don't think that's just me. I can't put myself into a label. But, you know, like I said, some of these people, they have to make a living, and they choose to do that way. And I do know a handful of really genuine, legitimate people that do what they do because they want to help, but they happen to charge for what they do because that's how they make their living, you know, but it's reasonable. But I also know more than a handful of people that are talking out of their backside that I really disagree with, and that I know they're full of rubbish. So and unfortunately, there's more people talking out their backside than are truly genuine and do what they do because, you know, at least they help. They think they're helping somebody with grieving. You know, and I've been through the grieving thing. I mean, you know, I've lost my grandmother, but even more sort of shocking to my system was when I was a teenager. I lost my best friend. She was murdered. I was 16 years old, and it really. It was really just the most terrible time in my life, and there's not a day that I don't think of her, you know. So I understand that people want to sort of grasp at straws. I remember when she died, and I went to the funeral, and I saw her mother, and her mother was like, had found a golf ball outside their house, and my friend used to play golf. And how many teenagers do you know, women, you know, girls of 16 that play golf? Not many. But she interpreted that the sign from her daughter. And obviously trying to grasp at straws, something, some kind of sign, and you can't really fight with that, you know? I mean, if that what is what helps them get over the grief, then that's what helps them.
Yeah. I love the ones I saw on TV, and I bring this up a lot because it still makes me laugh every time when I compare psychics and stuff and people getting involved with other people's lives. It's a Sylvia Brown episode on... what is his name, Montel Williams, where the family actually knew what happened to their daughter. Their daughter was actually shot, and this poor family lost their daughter. But they came on there knowing another show had sent them on there deliberately, and they were willing to cooperate. And
to
come
try
forward.
And catch her out,
yeah. Exactly, and she went on there, and she's on there saying, oh, I'm feeling pain in the chest, and there's water filling the lungs, I'm seeing her in the lake. Your daughter drowned. She fell in and drowned in this lake. If you look there, that's where you'll find your daughter. Well, they already knew what happened to the daughter, and she was in the morgue.
Well, you know, that's another reason I personally don't offer readings. At this time, I used to, for free, you know, just, I used to do kind of like gallery readings at the Hotel New York. But it was more for sort of practice for me. But there are people out there that will try and scam you, you know. And even if they're a legitimate psychic or a medium, you cannot, I don't care, like even me with my recordings, you cannot be right 100% of the time, because the way you read is all the interpretation of the reader. You know, and they don't make it easy for you, like, give you a straight answer, too. Sometimes it's like a, if, like I say, to you, think of the Eiffel Tower and you have it pictured in your mind. That's how mediumship, that's how it works, is you're interpreting the pictures that you're getting in your mind. So you can't be 100% right. I know, you guys hate this psychic talk, don't you? You're both like, It's okay.
Dramatical pause there.
Did you just say dramatical?
Or dramatic pause.
Okay.
Dramatic pause or theatrical pause. Whatever they call it in the movies. Or
I'm probably using some funny words, too. Take no notice.
Yeah, what is it, talking out your backside instead of blowing it out your ass or whatever?
Nice.
Anyway.
So what else have you gotten into besides that? Now, we know you do the legal stuff and everything else. What else do you do besides just the other stuff? You go on investigations and stuff.
To be honest with you, I'm a complete saddo, and when I'm not working, I'm doing everything paranormal. It's very sad. there isn't much to do in Florida, I gotta be honest.
Well, now you travel aside from that.
I travel a lot, that's true. I mean, being from Europe, I've been fortunate enough to visit a lot of different countries and a lot of different places. And of course, I still have some family over there and I have friends over there, so, you know, I go there often. And, you know, when you're over there, every other country is like a hop, skip, and a jump away. So I'm fortunate in that way. But of course, like I said, you know, working and everything, I can't be away all the time, unfortunately. But, you know, when I'm in Florida, I tend to go to Tampa a lot to work with HSPR. They're good friends of mine too, so that's what I'm doing most of the time. I'm also, I've started a book several times, but I never get past the first couple of paragraphs because I find I'm learning stuff all the time. So I'll write something, and you know, maybe like a month later, I'll reread it, and I totally disagree with what I said.
Yeah.
You know, so that's been going on for a long time, but hopefully I'll have something complete within the next year, I'd say.
Before you leave Boca, I suggest you go down to Homestead, check out Coral Castle.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do that. You know,
it's an amazing place. It's very small. It's sort of like Winchester Mystery House. When you visit it here, you know, you think it's this big sprawling acreage, but it actually sits next to a shopping center. It's between the shopping center and a highway.
Really? The whole background story to that place is really touching.
Yes, it's pretty amazing. It's an amazing place, but it's very, very small, and it's surrounded by the city.
It's a bit weird.
The Coral Castle thing is the same way. It's surrounded right by grocery stores and everything else. And what's really neat is there is an old cemetery that sits right outside the back door to that.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's local. An Indian cemetery sits right next to a regular cemetery.
Huh.
So part of it's Indian burial ground, and right next to it's a regular fenced-in cemetery. And they couldn't do anything with it because it sat right against the Coral Castle.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, you know, the photos of everything that I've seen of that place, I mean, it's amazing.
It's a really interesting scenario, the way they have it all set up and everything. Yeah. I think you'd really enjoy it, checking it out.
Like I said, I've been meaning to go, and I'm trying to get, you know, I'm trying to get a few people together to explore more of the places down here. But I have yet to sort of accomplish that. But hopefully we'll be going soon, you know?
Get out in Big Cypress
Swamp. Before I move out of Florida.
Get up a group and go out to Big Cypress Swamp. Check out my big hairy friend out there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your... Well, I hate to be asking the questions, but what was... Didn't you think you saw something in the swamp or anything? What did I hear about that?
Oh, that's the swamp
story.
Ape. You're talking about the swamp ape that's out there. But that's debatable. I mean, there's obviously a bipedal hairy ape runs around. But the question is, you have to remember, in South Florida, you have all these hurricanes and stuff, and there's a lot of primate facilities there.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's debatable whether anything out there is actually an escaped primate, such as a chimp or orangutan. You know, there's photographs that actually turned out to be orangutans. And, you know, people still are convinced that that's a swamp ape. No, it's an orangutan, you know. All these photographs show up of these different animals out there. these primates. And there's a lot of escape, local populations.
I was going to say, there was a bunch of, there's always been a bunch of zoos around here.
Yeah, and they don't recover these animals. The last Hurricane Andrew, when Andrew came through there, there was 10 unaccounted for primates that escaped from a facility, a primate rescue facility.
Wow.
They never recovered them, but they don't tell the general population that.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
They're also in the green swamp. They release, they have a problem with the declining Florida panther population. So they released 10 mountain lions because they're close genetically, and they wanted the mountain lions to breed with the panthers so that they could increase the panther population, breeding population. And then they were going to, they tagged them and were going to get, try to recapture the mountain lions after they had bred. And they didn't tell the locals. They just simply closed off, those public areas of the park, in order to allow the mountain lions, because they're significantly more aggressive than the panthers. So they didn't want campers going into those areas. But they tend to wander outside of those areas. But they didn't tell the population that they had released those mountain lions. They didn't make it public knowledge. They kind of announced it a little bit, but they didn't release it in the newspapers and everything else. They just posted no going in these areas, you know, panther areas and things like that. They posted signs about the panthers, but they closed off the areas. And what they'd actually done was tried to bring these mountain lions into those areas to breed with the endangered panthers.
That's interesting.
So people started reporting all these strange different types of large cats in the area, and all these new cryptid sightings started popping up. And they do that a lot down there, with the giant snakes.
I know, though. You'd think that people could, like, tell the difference between a cat and a monkey, you know, and a swamp ape.
I don't know. Yeah.
You'd be surprised, because they'll see them, and they'll be, you know, standing up against a tree, clawing, you know, trying to sharpen their claws and stuff, and people will be wandering by, and they'll see this thing standing upright, and all it's really
doing. Right, they just freak out and run away before even getting a look at it, probably.
There's all kinds of weird stuff out in the swamp.
When you see things that are unexpected, sometimes you see things that are not quite the way they really are. You know what I mean? When it's the last thing you expect to see, when you recall it, is not going to be, you know, accurate sometimes.
Yeah.
And what I saw, I was a kid at 13 years old, and I know it wasn't human. And I know it was big, but I could not identify it in the dark, you know, so it put me on my, and I heard later about
it. Oh, it was in the dark.
Yeah, so, and I knew, I could see it well enough to see its face and tell it wasn't human, but it was still scary to me as a kid, and I knew about, I learned about the swamp ape. So what am I going to think?
What the hell are you doing? Sorry about that.
Oh, what's that?
Nothing, our producer is just playing something. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
But anyway, you've been to a lot of these different places and travels. Where's something unique that you've been overseas? Or what's one of the most unique places you've been, Carly?
Do you know what? Like, I get asked that question all the time. I mean, unique, that could mean a lot of different things. The most interesting place, the place that I've gotten the most data out of, or I've, you know, seen the weirdest things, is where, you know, my home. I mean, they don't say what's the most haunted place or whatever. The most interesting place were the things I've seen, things that, you know, I really didn't know what I was looking at, things that, you know, I wouldn't even know how to explain, wherever I happened to be living at that time.
Well, unique, I'm talking about, what's the most exotic place you've ever seen? The one that piques your interest the most. Yeah, what piques your interest the most in the
one? Location that's exotic. I mean, I'm dying to get to, I haven't been able to, but because every time I go to England, I am, you know, visiting with family and friends. But next time I go home, you know, I'm dying to go, you know, look around the castles. I mean, there's so many of them, and I think that is something that I would really like to do that I haven't been lucky enough to do yet. It just hasn't been the right time, or I haven't had the right people. You know, but here in the States, I mean, the Shanley Hotel was interested just because there's a number of personal experiences that I had, that also the people with me that had. The Queen Mary was just cool because it was a boat, and I'd never done a boat before, you know. But yeah, I mean, I think the most interesting place would have to be, you know, a castle, which. You know, I hope to get to next time I go to England, because, like I said, there's so many of them. And anywhere that's old, usually I can pull some EVPs out of there. So, you know, I just think it would be cool to do that.
I believe Lisa said she went to Leap Castle. You familiar with that one?
The what castle?
Leap Castle, is that right?
Leap Castle?
I think that's what I want to say, Leap Castle.
I don't know of
that. I have to ask her about that one. Maybe it's in Scotland. L-E-A-P Castle?
I've never heard of it. That's not to say that it doesn't exist. There's, like I said, there's so many castles in Europe. But that's not one that
it's
I
It's located
heard of.
In Offaly County. It's about 4 miles north of Roscrea, wherever that
and
is.
And this is in England?
Maybe it's Scotland, because it's a Gaelic.
Yeah, because that doesn't sound like a place in England that I've heard of. I'm dying to go to Chillingham Castle. That's the place that I'm dying to.
Okay, maybe it's Scotland, because it's a Gaelic castle.
Yeah.
And Usnet. I don't know what Usnik is.
Yeah, those cities, I have no idea, they don't sound familiar to me. Well,
Usnik, I thought, was in England, but
get
I know
your country's
been,
right, Ed. Damn.
Well, they're all kind of mix and match, because she went through the whole, she went England, Ireland, and Scotland all at once.
That's awesome.
But she's been there where, she took that little path where King Arthur threw the sword, Excalibur, into the water.
Yeah.
She took that whole, 10-mile hike through all that stuff?
Yeah.
She did that one, I know. Have you been through that little area there?
No, I have not.
She's gone down that little, they had to hike through it. It was like 10 miles or something.
That'd
they hiked through it to go up and see the little lake and all that where the Lady of the Lake is supposed to be. And
yeah.
They threw the Excalibur into the lake and all that.
Oh, wow. That sounds cool. I don't know. Yeah, England in itself has a... It's so old, you know.
Yeah.
So many of the buildings are so old. I went to, an all-girls Catholic boarding school that was, built in the 1700s, you know.
Wow.
That was definitely, I had some weird experiences there. But, they have so many old historic buildings there. But Chillingham Castle, that's one place that's definitely on my list. And I actually have a friend that's not even, he's not in the paranormal field. He's totally a skeptic, but he happened to go there and he had an experience there. So just hearing that from him when he's a skeptic and has never experienced or but there, that's even more of an incentive for me.
If I understand it correctly, they have a lot of castles now that rent out rooms so you can stay there.
Yeah.
Pontic
Castle. Yeah, well, I think you can. Well, Chillingham, I think there's their apartments now, some of it's closed off. But I think they do have, a couple of apartments in there that you can rent out. So that would be really cool. But I'm sure it's over my budget. It would be nice to stay in a castle.
Hmm.
We can only dream.
Yeah, well, you can stay in one right here in in Florida. You know the castle at Disney World?
Yeah.
They built a room right there in it for Walt Disney, and I think
oh,
it's
is
like
that right?
Yeah, it's like $100,000. What is it? $10,000 a night or something like that.
Really?
Wow!
And you can stay in Cinderella's castle.
Wow! I thought it was Cinderella. It's not Sleeping Beauty. Why do I think Sleeping? Yeah, Cinderella.
Cinderella's castle there at Magic Kingdom. There's one room in there that was originally built for Walt Disney. He never got to stay in it, but it's built there, and they finally opened it up and they rent it out to couples or whatever for. One night if
wow.
He was in an outrageous price, like $10,000 a night. But
for
that money, you can spend the night in Disney World in the castle.
Yeah. Listen, if you've got the money and you've got kids or whatever, how amazing would that be?
Let's see. Marcus says, I wonder what the graveyards are like in England. I don't know anyone that has talked about them.
I'll tell you what. When I was a really small kid, I used to have to, when I would walk home, there was a really old cemetery, and I should have known right then and there, I was like some weird kid, but instead of walking on the road home, I would always cut through the graveyard. I found it really, it was so old, and, I would read the names on the gravestone, and see it really fascinated me, when how long they were alive for and when they died, and it was so old. I used to walk through there all the time. And I, you know, if I was going to do it now, I'd definitely be bringing the photo, you know, the camera and the recorders with me. Yeah, I was a weird kid. I enjoyed walking through graveyards.
What do you mean, kid? I think we're all weird as adults.
No, I was always a bit strange. I will say, you know, I've got a bunch of siblings too, and none of them are like me. So I'm definitely the black sheep. I'm even weirder.
Well, that's what I mean. I think kids are actually the normal ones. I think we get worse as we get older.
Yeah.
And I think we start losing our minds as we get older. Yeah.
Speak for yourself, Ed. Speak for yourself.
Well, in my case, you have to have a mind to lose.
Are you? What are you talking about? You're a very smart guy.
Smart ass, but not necessarily intelligent.
And you guys, we're out of time, so we have to let Carly give the links so people can find what her website.
Oh, but I was having so much fun. You can find me on Facebook at Carly Rose Singer, no hyphen in the Carly Rose, or my website where you can listen to some of my recordings and watch a video here and there is directvoicecommunication.com, no S on the end of that, and or MySpace / Covert Butterfly, although I'm not really on the MySpace very much these days.
Yeah, who is?
That's who you can find me.
I think everybody's given up on MySpace as far as that goes.
Yeah.
It's basically all spam now.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you,
really,
Carly.
Thanks for taking the time out and coming on.
Anytime.
Well, we'll have to have you back and do more, plenty more time.
That would be great.
Awesome.
All right. Take care,
guys.
We'll
get a whole round table right together.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later.
Talk to you later. Take care, sweetheart. And I guess that wraps us up tonight.
That does wrap us up tonight.
I tell you, that was a great show. Love hearing from her.
Yep.
Great show. I enjoyed it. And we're still on the air, so everyone out there, be sure and tune in to Reap Show Radio Tuesday nights at our Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Pacific time.
Yep.
I got it
Big
right, too.
Bad atheists. That's us.
Yeah, watch those atheists. Yeah. Oh, and keep up on the news and find out what happens next between the situation with our producer, Polly, and her affair with Tiger Woods. So be sure to check out Facebook to keep up on that scenario.
For you? Patrick Byrne has just created a Facebook page for a million people who have slept with Tiger Woods, I guess, is the... So, good for him.
Oh, and by the way, we want to send all our thoughts and best wishes to our good friend Keith Age.
Yeah,
we hope Keith gets better soon.
Yep.
And all works out for him. You know, we got to mention that. You know,
thoughts out to Keith. Yep.
And we all love and really wish him all the best.
Absolutely. So, hope he gets well soon.
Yeah, definitely get well, Keith. You know, we're all pulling for you, then, bro. And again, Thursdays right here, for Ed Radio,
6 p.m. Pacific. Talk to you later, Ed.
Talk to you later. All and right. Thanks, guys, for tuning in.
Right. Is it all that you needed from this? I hope it meant anything, anything.